Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away once more, it is my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners in this country and, of course, throughout the world, but also to welcome to the programme four exciting, talented players of this game who have come together purely to show their talent, pit their wits, display their verbal dexterity, their humorous invention, as they try and speak on a subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And those four bright, intelligent people are seated on my right, Paul Merton and Clement Freud, and seated on my left, Graham Norton and Chris Addison. Will you please welcome all four of them? Beside me is Charlotte Davies, who's going to help me with the score and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Mermaid Theatre, that lovely little gem of a theatre on the banks of the Thames. And we have an audience who've come here just to enjoy themselves, and we're going to enjoy ourselves. As we begin the show, Graham Norton, will you take the first subject? The subject is, oh, how apt for the Mermaid Theatre, how to be a thespian. 60 seconds, starting now.
How to be a thespian is very simple. Throw away your lipstick and your high-heel shoes, invest in some sensible slacks and a stout sweater. Begin listening to Katie Lang albums, take up an interest in golf and ladies' tennis.
Chris Addison, you've challenged. Why?
My challenge was deviation.
From what?
The subject.
Of what?
He was talking about lesbians, not thespians.
I do feel a silly. I must have misheard our chairman. May I start again?
No, because I don't think my diction is so bad that no, you could have mistaken a TH for an L. We enjoyed what you said, actually. And if you were going off on the subject you thought it was, I'm glad that Chris actually challenged and got you off it. So I have to say to you, Chris, you have a correct challenge. And you have 49 seconds. You take over the subject. Got a point for a correct challenge, of course. How to be a thespian. 60 seconds, starting now.
Of course, there's nothing wrong with girls liking girls. It's perfectly
Chris, you've challenged.
I didn't challenge.
Well, you're like him. Oh, for, yes?
Yeah, I pressed.
No, but you're Chris. Chris is like him on first.
Well,
repetition.
If I have to have a challenge, it would be deviation from the subject. I deviated from the subject.
Right.
I didn't challenge because I was talking. In the spirit of fairness, I feel that Clement or Paul, one of my senior colleagues, challenged, and due to some unlucky happenstance,
I did have a challenge.
I know, and so did Clement have a challenge. You all had a challenge. But the trouble is, Chris Addison's light came on. I go by whatever light comes on here. Chris, you challenged.
Nicholas, when does your light come on?
Oh, you are wicked to clap that, aren't you? But I'll show you how fair I am. Give Paul a bonus point for his particular remark. And the benefit of the doubt to Chris Addison. 47 seconds available. How to be a thespian, starting now.
When I was a little child, I very much wanted to be a
Graham challenge.
All children are little. That's the point of them,
yeah,
isn't
but
it?
Some of them, no, not some of them. 15-year-olds are quite big. Hmm. I was a little...
No, I think that's
I don't
little.
Think he was indicating that he was unique.
No. So, incorrect challenge.
Okay.
And you have... Another point, Chris, and 44 seconds. How to be a thespian, starting now.
I wanted very...
Paul challenge.
Well, there was a hesitation. You could have made a ham sandwich there. I mean, you could have bought the bread, you could have sliced it, you could have chosen the ham, you could have chosen butter, margarine, you could have cut the crust off, you could have handed it round. Hesitation. No hesitation.
To be fair,
I'm going to give you hesitation, but you don't need to rub it in like that.
To be fair, Nicholas, it was me who pressed the button.
But Paul's light came on. It was Paul Merton. Hesitation's correct, Paul. 43 seconds. How to be a thespian starting now.
I auditioned for RADA when I was 19 years old, the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art. I wasn't particularly fulfilling an ambition to appear in that school for 2 or 3 years. I just wanted to get up on the stage and be judged professionally. I wasn't particularly good.
Graham Challenge.
Yeah, repetition of particularly.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Well, listen, Graham.
Was it really?
Yeah. And I wasn't as well. Right, 28 seconds. Graham, the subject is back with you. How to be... Listen, Graham. How to be a thespian.
I wouldn't make the same mistake twice.
Well, it's a thespian, and you start now.
Large bunches of keys would be meaning that you're in stage management. To be a thespian, however, you would probably wear nice makeup and skip across the stage. Learn lines, because you can't say what you want if you're a thespian. You have to play a role. It's another word meaning actor or actress. Isn't that right, everybody? Now, I think the best...
Paul Challenge.
Well, a bit slowing down, a bit of hesitation now, though.
Yes, I think when you address the audience, you didn't get any reaction and you paused.
It was a dramatic pause. It was a dramatic pause.
It's a dramatic thespian's pause, but you can't do it in just a minute. So, Paul, hesitation. 5 seconds. How to be a thespian starting now.
I stood on that platform. I couldn't remember if I said stage before.
I know. I could see what was going on in your mind. It's all revealed across the face, listeners. That's
I was
why.
About to say to be or not to be as well.
So, Chris, you challenge first, and you've got in with 3 seconds to go on how to be a thespian, starting now.
When Paul stood on that stage...
Clement challenged.
I haven't said anything.
He has not said anything for a while.
At all.
Right. Well,
hello.
Clement...
Good
hello.
Evening.
Give Clement a bonus point for
I'd
his...
I'd like the
hello,
subject.
Hello, good evening, because we...
I'd like the subject.
No, no. No, you can't. You can have a bonus point.
I'll be quite brief.
Yeah, be quite brief.
Give him 2 bonus points then, all right? But no, I've got to be fair with the rules of just a minute. Chris, you were interrupted, so you get a point for that. You keep the subject. 2 seconds to go. How to be a thespian starting now.
At the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts, as it stands.
So at the end of that round, Chris Addison was speaking as a whistle wind, gained that extra point, and others in the round, he's taken a strong lead. And Chris, we're going to ask you to take the next round. The subject is the tip of the iceberg. That's the subject. 60 seconds, starting now.
The tip of the iceberg is a phrase which alludes to the fact that icebergs have only a small amount above the waterline. Most of it is below that level, and this is true of most lettuces. So why the iceberg should be singled out amongst them is beyond me. It is also coincidentally the case with its namesake, the iceberg, a large amount of ice floating around in the Arctic, on which are to be found polar bears and Arctic foxes.
Silly boy.
Do you really get polar bears and Arctic foxes on icebergs?
Have you not seen the front of a fox's glassy mint?
Yeah.
I think
but that's not really an iceberg.
That's not an iceberg, though, is it?
You established it was in the Arctic where you'd get the polar bears, and icebergs were around there. I don't think he was definitely saying polar bears only appear on icebergs, were you, Chris?
No, heaven forfend.
So when he said on his icebergs you get polar bears and Arctic foxes, he meant...
Well, you
slugs.
Could. It is possible. Because it could have been a piece of ice that is separated from the polar cap.
Oh. In
the, yes.
Okay.
All right. The benefit of the doubt to Chris Addison.
Have you been watching Planet Earth again, have you, Nicholas?
Yes. That's right. So the tip of the iceberg is with you still, Chris. 35 seconds starting now.
The polar bears and...
Yeah, this is what happens in this game. You lose it, you come straight back with the words you shouldn't use. Paul, yes, correct challenge.
Polar
bears, right. 34 seconds, the tip of the iceberg with you, Paul, starting now.
In 1912, the Titanic left Southampton, which was a bit of a funny thing because it sunk in 1911. Meanwhile...
Repetition of 19.
Repetition of 19, yes. So you got the tip of the iceberg, Clement, and you have 28 seconds starting now.
An iceberg is probably the most boring, tasteless, unamusing cabbage lettuce there has ever been. No taste is as...
Chris, challenge.
I rescind the challenge.
Why?
Because I was going to challenge on taste,
Well, you'd be correct,
wouldn't
you?
I didn't like what he was saying.
Tasteless and taste.
Yeah, it's tasteless and taste.
Right, well, listen, Chris. Clement gets a point because he was interrupted.
Yes, and my apologies.
He's 18 seconds, the tip of the iceberg with you, Clement, starting now.
And the tip of an iceberg is quite particularly uninteresting. Let me explain about oil and vinegar, which fuses with salt and pepper, lemon...
A Graham challenge.
Let's not.
Oh, we did enjoy the interruption.
No, but it's not a deviation from the subject as well. It's not about the tip of the iceberg.
No, he's talking about iceberg lettuces, you see.
He's talking about salad dressing.
I know, but would you put that on an iceberg lettuce?
Yeah.
Not just the tip.
But including the tip.
Well, you would. It would go all over it, so it would include the tip. So,
all right.
All right. A bonus point, though, because we enjoyed the interruption.
Yeah, thanks.
And,
Clement, you have a point.
I didn't enjoy the interruption.
I think you should give...
You should give Clement... started to enjoy it, then I went off it a bit. I've heard it before.
Clement has a point for being interrupted. 8 seconds, the tip of the iceberg starting now.
The tip of the iceberg is actually what you can see above the water on the assumption that most of the iceberg is beneath the...
wait a minute. Paul challenged before the whistle.
Right towards the end, there was a hesitation there.
I think it was a full stop.
Yeah.
Paul, you've got in with half a second to go on the tip of the iceberg starting now.
The tip of the iceberg is something that I really trust in.
At the end of that round, Paul Merton speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now equal with Chris Addison in the lead, ahead of Clement Freud and Graham Norton in that order. And Clement, it's your turn to begin. So will you take the subject of public relations? 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
It's quite interesting to be given the subject of public relations, because public relations is a profession which my youngest son pursues, and private relations are because he gave birth to my 16th grandchild.
Paul Challenge.
Well, you're all right.
It just strikes me as ideally placed to spread the news that he's given birth to...
That would be a first, wouldn't it?
Deviation, yes.
Deviation, yes.
He hasn't given birth.
Well, his wife has given birth, we hope.
Oh, really? That's a coincidence, the two of them. I suppose that's probably planned, was it?
Paul, a correct challenge, because it was deviation. He didn't. His wife did. 45 seconds available. Public relations starting now.
Public relations is explaining to people why things have gone wrong in a huge way that makes them think that perhaps they're never going to get their money back. Look at the people on Titanic and say, look, I'm sorry about that, but here's his luggage. A bit wet, but what can you do? It was a shame those people left Southampton.
Clement challenge.
Reputation of people.
Yes, there were too many people, Paul.
Were there?
Yes. Yeah. And Clement, you've got the subject back. 31 seconds. Public relations starting now.
The son of my...
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of son, yes, my youngest son.
I have two sons.
So he did repeat son. 29 seconds, back with you, Paul. Public relations starting now.
There was an episode of some mother's...
Graham Challenge.
What word was that? I'm going with hesitation or deviation from the English.
I didn't...
It's
very hard to make that challenge when you can't say the word English.
I didn't actually catch what the word was either.
I did.
What was it?
Episode.
It could have been.
Absolutely.
It could have been. We
on this side...
I tell you what I'm going to do, Paul. I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt...
To me.
No. To Graham, because we haven't heard from him in time. 27 seconds with you, Graham. Public relations starting now.
Mark something or other is a presenter of many ITV2 shows. His mother is Judith Chalmers. Does that make her a public relation? I'm interested, because she is a public figure and related to that man whose name I can't remember. I met them once on holiday. It was bizarre. I was at the airport. I was waiting...
Paul Challenge.
Meeting Judith Chalmers on holiday isn't bizarre.
You should see Judith with a tan.
Mm. The chances of her not being there are extremely remote.
Exactly. Because she's been to nearly every country in the world.
Yeah.
But, Paul, we give you the benefit of the doubt, because we don't think, in the strict sense of the word, it was bizarre for him to meet Judith Chalmers when she's on holiday. So you have seconds... You have seven... I speak faster than my words will come out.
How did you do that? Is Charlotte working you with her foot? Is she?
She's Charlotte, please don't pull the string so tight next time.
And make sure which string you pull and all.
But there are 7 seconds still available, Paul, because you have a correct challenge. Public relations starting now.
One day I decided I was going to meet my great uncle in the middle of Trafalgar Square. I phoned him up and I said, "Be there at midnight."
So Paul Mutton, speaking as the whistle wind gained that extra point, he's taken a strong lead ahead of Chris Addison, Clement Freud and Graham Norton in that order. Paul, will you take the next round? When you weren't looking, that's the subject in front of me, can you talk on that subject, 60 seconds, starting now?
When you weren't looking, we played a practical joke on you, Nicholas. When you were talking to the audience before the recording tonight, myself, Clement Freud, Chris Addison and Graham Norton stripped naked and danced the dance of a thousand dreams. And the audience laughed and you thought it was because of your jokes, and we've been doing that for 17 years. It's a shame. You haven't had a laugh in public, Nicholas, since 1968, and that's only when you fell off the stage when you're commemorating the death of the old Queen. I'm referring to Victoria, of course, not the present incumbent on the throne. When I take my mind back to all those Royal Variety performances when our astute chairman used to walk onto the stage and say, "Ladies and gentlemen, Chopin."
Chris Addison, new challenge.
Repetition of stage.
Unfortunately, it was, yes. I was going to let him go on that because it was so bizarre.
But you're not playing the game.
I don't know why the audience were laughing at that outrageous depiction, because this audience were there listening to me before you came on.
Yeah.
While you said you were stripping naked backstage.
Yeah, we were.
Right. I don't believe you, because no one would laugh at that.
We've got a round of applause.
Not having seen you. Right. So you did go for 40 seconds, which is pretty good. But you can't get any points for it, can you? Because that's not the way Just a Minute goes. Chris, you get a point for a correct challenge, and you have 20 seconds on When You Weren't Looking, starting now.
When you weren't looking is the time when everything changes. When you weren't looking, it became acceptable to listen to tunes incredibly loud on your mobile phone in public. When you weren't looking, Natasha Kaplinsky became taken seriously. When you weren't looking, they put the prices up on railway fares. And it is exactly this time, when you are not looking...
Paul Chalmers.
I mean, there is a limit to how many times you can say the subject on the card.
I think there should be a limit, yes.
But there isn't.
No.
Do you think we've reached that point?
Well, I don't know, because, you see, Chris has only just started playing the game, hasn't he? I usually give it against people who repeat it ad nauseam.
OK.
And you were wrong.
I was using it as a rhetorical device.
I know, and you used it very well. So we give you a bonus point for your inventiveness. Paul had a point because he was correct challenge, and there's 1 second left.
Oh.
And when you weren't looking, is with you, Paul, starting now.
The Crystal Palace burned down!
So Paul got more points in that round, has taken a stronger lead ahead of Chris Addison, who's in second place, then Clement Freud and Graham Norton. And Graham, we'd like you to take the next round. Here's a lovely subject. Happily ever after. Will you talk on happily ever after? 60 seconds, starting now.
Happily ever after is a phrase usually associated with fairy tales. They all lived happily ever after. Now, even as a child, I thought, not everyone did. The seven dwarves kind of been thrilled to see your one leaving the house. Who's going to cook the dinner now while we're in the mine, working all day and whistling? The ugly sisters didn't jump for joy when Cinderella, the slave, married the prince, did they? No, I say, good people of the Mermaid Theatre, Puddle Dock near the Thames in London. Very historic. Now, happily ever after is a repetitious phrase which occurs at the end of those stories which I mentioned earlier involving witches and wizards, goblins, giants, ogres, beanstalks. Poisoned apples prove surprisingly popular in their pages as well, I've noticed. Happily ever after. If only that could be.
You've interrupted.
Yeah, how many times is he allowed to repeat the subject?
No, you're quite right, because you lost it on repeating that phrase. and you couldn't resist challenging him because he kept repeating the phrase, all right, I give you the benefit of the doubt. You get a point for a correct challenge. But that man sitting beside you, Graham Norton, gets a point because you went for 56 seconds.
56 seconds.
And you have 4 seconds, Chris, on Happily Ever After, starting now.
Happily Ever After.
Paul Challenge.
Hesitation.
No.
But it starts with...
Yeah. That's just an unfortunate thing with my teeth.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
It's no, really you didn't. This game, then, isn't it?
Yeah. You could have made a tongue sandwich.
Have you just woken up?
So, Chris, you've got an incorrect challenge. And you keep the subject, because you'll be going for only a second. You have 3 more seconds to go. Happily Ever After, starting now.
The Ogre's Fairy.
Paul Challenge.
He did it again!
You wicked so-and-so, he didn't. No, you didn't.
Yes, he
did. Can you count me in?
Yes, he did.
He got words out, and he was only going for half a second.
Yes, and that half a second consisted of...
It's just a vocal idiosyncrasy of his. It isn't a hesitation.
Shall we ignore it as a matter of policy?
No.
Just why don't you just count
me in? See if he does it a third time. Because you've got three...
Okay, let's see if he does it the third time.
You've got 3.5 seconds to go. Happily Ever After, starting now.
The Ogre's Goblin Fairy.
Deviation. He didn't go... It's either a speech problem or it isn't, you know.
A bonus point to Paul Merton for his remark there. But his light came on, Paul.
Did it?
Oh, right, you can have a bonus point as well, because we love giving them to you. Right, a bonus point for Clement.
Can I have one?
Yes, you can have one as well, yes.
So, if I'm right, that's 3 incorrect challenges. So
no, that's right. No, but you got a point, because you were incorrectly challenged.
Super.
So, and you have now 2 seconds on... Won't we ever finish this round, I say to myself? Happily Ever After, starting now.
In these fairy tales.
Yes.
Repetition of not hesitating.
Incorrect challenge. You have another point, Chris, and you have Happily Ever After, and 1.5 seconds starting now.
Beanstalks in particular are not particularly known to...
So, Chris Addison, with 1 for speaking as a whistle, went other points in the round with the help of the chairman and the indulgence of the other players, has leapt forward. He's only 1 point behind the leader, Paul Merton, ahead of Clement Freud and Graham Norton in that order, as we move into the final round. And, Chris, it's also your turn to begin.
Let me get my voice ready.
And the subject now is forbidden fruit. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
When I was a child, next door to us lived a man called Mr. Wilson, who had a large patch of brambles at the end of his garden. And come the autumn, these plants would be...
Poor challenge.
A hesitation. Speech impediment. Hesitation. Speech impediment.
Right, Paul, correct challenge. 51 seconds available. Forbidden fruit, starting now.
In the biblical story, of course, we are told about Adam and Eve and the Garden of Eden.
Graham challenged.
I just want to know if he's going to do the whole minute like this.
I'm impersonating you. You've spent a lifetime doing it. I do it for 15 seconds.
I was going to say, because I'm really enjoying it.
So what is your challenge with the rules of Just a Minute?
None, really.
None. Well, we'll give you a bonus point, because we enjoy the interruption.
Loving this.
And, Paul, you have a point, of course. You were interrupted. 46 seconds. Forbidden fruit, starting now.
In the 1960s and 70s, we were forbidden from eating South African fruit because of the terrible apartheid situation in that wonderful country. Graham, I believe, has property in Cape Town. That's why he's such a lovely colour at the moment. Either that or his shirt is specially white to show off the beautiful tan which may have come from the Tottenham Court Road, or perhaps...
Graham challenge.
Now, unless I'm the forbidden fruit, I believe he's deviating.
Graham, I would hardly describe you as fruity.
I'm certainly not forbidden.
But what is your challenge when the rules of Just a Minute?
A deviation from the subject.
No.
He's talking about my shirt.
Oh, yes, the benefit of the doubt, Graham. And, Yes, it was, it was.
Thank you.
Forbidden Fruit is with you, Graham. 26 seconds, starting now.
The forbidden fruit was originally the apple. How dull. Why would you need to forbid anyone from eating that? Stand back from the mango, I say.
Greg Clement challenged.
There were no bananas at that time.
Deuteronomy 4, chapter 5. Yes, we have no bananas.
Deuteronomy is the fourth book of the Bible, and Genesis...
Do you think I know anything about the Bible?
And this was in the first book of the Bible, where the forbidden fruit came. So, incorrect challenge. You've still got the subject, Graham. Forbidden fruit. And there are 19 seconds starting now.
Perhaps the snake liked the apple. Oh, I've said apple before, haven't I?
Poor challenge.
Apple three times, pointing out that he'd said it before, then... So repetition, yeah.
Yes, repetition. 16 seconds. Paul, with you, forbidden fruit, starting now.
I remember my grandfather looked me in the eye and said, there is a pomegranate that I have upstairs in my bedroom, underneath the bed, which your granny doesn't know I possess. And with that, he took me towards his destination, reached underneath the springs...
Wait a minute. Clement challenged just before.
He said underneath before.
That's right, underneath the bed and now...
Oh, yes, yes.
So they were applauding my sharp ears, I hope. And, Clement, you did challenge. And Paul got in on you just a while ago with only half a second to go. And you have returned the compliment. Correct challenge, half a second. Forbidden fruit starting now.
Underneath.
Let me give you the final score. So they all got lots of points, so they all achieved greatness in this particular edition of Just a Minute. Graham Norton coming back with glory and panache, finished just in fourth place with a lot of points. Clement Freud with his usual style and panache, finished up in third place with quite a lot of points. Chris Addison, who's only played the game very briefly, he finished with a lot of points. He didn't quite get as many points as Paul Merton. So, Paul, you were in the lead, and we say you are our winner this week. Thank you. It only remains for me to say thank you to our four fine players of the game. That is Paul Merton, Graham Norton, Chris Addison and Clement Freud. I thank Charlotte Davis, who's helped me with the score and blown her whistle with such elegance. We're grateful to our producer, Talusha Gilani. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're also indebted to this lovely audience here at the Mermaid Theatre in Puddle Dock in London. Thank you, audience. From you, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and from our panel, to our listeners, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.